about you guys, but you're still holding the flowers. You can put the flowers down. Just trying to get you guys loosened up. All right. I'm going to be reading to begin with out of Genesis chapter 2. Now, Genesis is, it's been mentioned here. You know, there's different ways that people look at the world, look at God, look at their own lives, and what things mean in this life. There is this opposition that Dan mentioned. People have a world view, and you're going out into a world, and you are going to hear lots of different ideas about what it means to live, and whether there's a God or not a God, whether whether the things you do have any kind of meaning or not. And I think it's important here that we set some things straight. You need to be armed in your own minds and in your hearts with these things, because you're going to be battling opposing thoughts, opposing worldviews. I'm going to read to you here out of the book of Genesis. It's chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. And it says this: "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So there's three parts here. There's the physical body that God created for this person, Adam, and then therefore the rest of us. He breathed his spirit. He breathed spirit of life into that physical form that he created. And that brought about a living soul. And these three parts of who you are all connected together. If the body dies, the spirit and the soul, the scripture tells us, goes to heaven. Or goes someplace. That all depends on how you look at it. But we're all connected together. The soul has thoughts, emotions. The spirit is really, in a lot of sense, the words there mean attitude. The predominant attitude that you have, your spirit. You could have a peaceful spirit where nothing seems to shake you. Maybe once in a while, but pretty much you have a peaceful spirit. That spirit is this overall attitude that's in your heart. And this spirit is the place where your conscience is, and this conscience has a connection with God. A connection, if you're open to it, if you want it. You can close that part of you down. In fact, when we read here, I'm going to see. I just stopped at 7, didn't I? All right. So verse 8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now, right off at the very beginning, God gave man choices. You had the tree of life, you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God allows for us to have choices. And I think this has already been brought up, to the graduates. But I want to say this for everybody. Everybody. The choices you make aren't just, I'm just going to do this. Really, you want to make sure that your choices are good ones. Like John said, like the song was, you know, we need to be people that make smart choices in life. Have you ever had to say already, probably everybody in this room, geez, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Has that happened to any of you? Nobody? I wish I wouldn't have done that. And you know where all of that comes? That comes from a thought that comes into your mind. Maybe it's caused by some emotion. Maybe it's anger. And you react to that. That person can't talk to me like that. That's your thought. The emotion is you're angry, right? And then you act on it. And when this happens over the course of time and you allow those thoughts to dominate how you feel, you can have an angry spirit, couldn't you? You could not see the good in anything because you always think everything's against you. You could have a defilement of spirit like that. That can happen to people. Yeah, look at the world. Would you say that, you know, the world is not perfect? Anybody think the world's perfect? There's a lot that's wrong. And yet God, if you read the account, God made everything good at the beginning. And man decided to take from his choice, and what we've done is, I'd rather make up my own mind about things. I'm going to eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, knowledge of good and evil. I'm going to make up my own mind what I'm going to do. I'm not going to submit myself to hear what God has to say. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And people have gone in that direction, and that's why there's darkness in this world. That's why God needed to, because he so loved the world, that's why God sent Christ here to die for this rotten, sinful condition of ours. He recognized that he saw what was going to happen, and he had a plan, and that was Jesus. And Jesus came, and he died on the cross for our sins, and anybody that accepts him is going to be saved. And guess what happens? That spirit, that defiled spirit, now can be renewed, now can be born again, if you've ever heard that term before. That spirit can be renewed again. And that doesn't mean that we do everything perfectly after that, because we still fall. But God gives us a way to pick ourselves back up and continue to move on with him. We can do that. And you're going to have to do that. Isn't it great that God so loves us? This God that formed the world. I want to read you something, because when you get out to college you're going to, I don't know if there's too many colleges that don't try to push on you this concept that, the Bible is not really true, it's just made up, science is the way it is. And yet, there's as much science in the biblical view of creation as what scientists have. I'm just going to read you something out of the scientific thing. Here. Copy this off the internet, so of course it's true, right? This is something Matt Barber, I guess. All right, here's what it says. On this, nearly all scientists agree that in the beginning, there was nothing. All scientists believe that. Before the universe, there was nothing. There was no time, no space, no matter. There wasn't even emptiness, only nothingness. Well, nothing natural anyway. Then, bang, everything, non-existence, became existence. Nothing became in less than an instant an inconceivably vast and finely tuned universe governed by natural law or physics. That's a wow. That's kind of hard to even believe, is it? That nothing created something? That's what they believe. That's what you believe if you believe in that kind of science. Nobody was there at the creation of the universe. So science is taking by faith from evidence that they have, just as much as people who take evidence to believe that God created the universe. Because science requires observation, doesn't it? All right, so I just want to get that out of the way. Now listen to this. This is amazing. The fine-tuning necessary for life to exist on a planet is nothing compared with the fine-tuning required for the universe to exist at all. For example, astrophysicists now know that the values of the four fundamental forces, gravity, electromagnetic force, the strong and weak nuclear forces, what were determined less than 1/1,000,000th of a second after the Big Bang. The whole universal law of the natural realm was determined in a split second after creation. Okay? All right, now listen to this. Alter any one of those values, and the universe could not exist. For instance, if the ratio between the nuclear strong force and the electromagnetic force had been off by the tiniest fraction of the tiniest fraction, by even one part in one quintillion, 100 quadrillion, I can't even tell what it is.
Really?
There's lots of zeros in back of this one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 15, 17 zeros in back of the one. Then, no stars could have been formed at all. It would be like tossing a coin and having it come up heads 10 quintillion times in a row. That's the chance that that could happen by chance. But that's science. That's science. That's what happened without God there. I don't know how people can believe that, but I'll keep going. In the beginning, nothing created the heavens and the earth. This is what basically they're saying. In the beginning, scientists are saying, in the beginning, nothing created the heavens and the earth. Does that even make sense? Nothing created something. It just happened. In this article it says, even in the material world, that's just plain silly. So they have reasoned themselves into a corner. Materialists acknowledge that prior to the moment of singularity, the Big Bang, there was nothing natural. They admit that there was an unnatural time and place before natural time and space. That something, sometime, somewhere, preceded the material universe. Scientists, they agree on this. That which preceded the natural was necessarily beyond the natural, and therefore was, is, and forever will be supernatural. So there is a supernatural. Even scientists agree with that. Even scientists agree that there's something supernatural. It's outside of the natural realm, and it was prior to the existence of this natural universe. Science says that. That's amazing, isn't it? So, this is God. So, I thought that was interesting. And you're gonna hear that the Bible and religion is opposed to science. It's not. Science and this Bible right here really go hand in hand. There's an intellectual, reasoned approach when you read this that does not ask you to set aside your reason and believe something just to believe it. I think I've mentioned this numbers of times before. Faith is not the opposite of reason. In fact, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there is evidence to why we believe this. We don't throw aside that which is reasonable, that can be observed, that makes sense, and say, I'm just going to believe this. Every person in this room that has accepted Christ in their life and knows that this is the Word of God, and this being that created this natural world loves us and wants us to know truth, He's put it right in here. This is why we gather together. And this is going to be important for you as you get away from the home, that you don't forget that. That you keep a hold of this book. Because in it is truth. Now I want to get to a couple other things here. Because I told myself I was not going to talk too long. But I already have. Alright, so you have a spirit, soul, and body, right? So, and you have this free choice, and I've already talked about all of that stuff. So I am going to, what I just said here. John chapter 16. I'm going to try to get this so that you're still paying attention to me when I finish. So that you're not nodding off on me here. So I'll try to move a little faster. It says this. See, what the scripture tells us, that when we accept Christ into our life, when we recognize that, hey, I miss the mark a lot, I'm a sinner, I need help, God. I can't earn my way to heaven. I need you to help me, and you love me, and you desire for me to be in your family. And you've provided the way by Jesus dying for my sins. Oh, wow, what a great message that is, isn't it? That's what the gospel's all about. Jesus dying for your sins. And people still push against that. I don't know why, but anyway. And after we get that, scripture tells us that we get a Holy Spirit. We get His Holy Spirit. That's what a lot of the songs were about, wasn't it? About He in us. His Spirit being in us. And it says here in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, nevertheless, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. This is what's going to be important, because you're going to hear all kinds of opposing ideas about things. And you know what's really important? Knowing the truth. You know what you are if you don't know the truth and you're not living the truth and you're going by something that's false? You're a fool. Anybody here want to be a fool the rest of your life? No, don't you want to know what's really true? Don't you want to know what's really true about creation, about God, about this life, about the way He wants us to live, so that we can be pleasing to the very God that created everything? Or is this just some kind of religious exercise? See, this is something that's important for you as an individual. All right. Now, this is the second part of what I want to say today. The first is, you have choices. I'm hoping and praying that we all make the good choices through our life. We're going to mess up, but God is there to help us out when we do mess up. But here's the thing that helps us out here. If you go in your Bibles, if you have them, Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs 25 says this. It's the last part of that. We have this spirit. We have spirit. We have this spirit part of us. That part that can connect with God. That part that is sensitive to what's around us. And it says here, it says, he that does not control his spirit is like, this is verse 28, I'm sorry. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. Yeah, you get that? In other words, you can be invaded. You can be convinced of wrong ideas. You can not have the right understanding about what's going on in your life, what's just happened to you, what's going to happen in the future. You can be in darkness. You can be confused if you don't have control over your spirit. Because, you know, anger and lashing out, when something's messed up in your life, say hurtful words to people, they have consequences, don't they? Wouldn't it be better if you have control over yourself? And this is what this is talking about here. Be in control. Lots of people, and it's getting worse in this world right now, and the Lord even told us that it was going to be like this, especially getting closer to the time when he's coming. It says that there, perilous times will come at the end, near the end of the age. Perilous times, not at the very end, near the end. And it says people are going to be lovers of themselves. They're not going to have any control over themselves. You ever see on TV the Target's going to open or some other store, big store is going to open in a mall, and they have this great stuff that everybody wants, and everybody lines up at the door. The doors aren't open yet, and everybody's lined up at the doors. Right?
Black Friday.
Huh? Black Friday or whatever days that they have something new. And, the crowds pressed up against the doors. And they're waiting for those doors to open. And those doors finally open up. And people are there for hours waiting. Maybe even a half a day or more. And as soon as those doors open up, the press of the crowd just pushes through. And people fall over and people just trample on them to get to the stuff. I mean, stomping and tromping over people for some little phone or whatever it might be. You know, talk about no self-control. And then they're grabbing for it all at the same time, and they start tugging and fighting over it, and people get punched in the face or pushed down or. It's crazy. There's no the self-control is really, I don't know what's happened in this world. But it's even worse. It's even worse now than it used to be back when I was a kid. A long time ago. Let me read you another scripture that's very similar to that. It's Proverbs 16, verse 32. It says this: he that's slow to anger is better than a mighty soldier. And he that can control his spirit is better than he that can capture a city. Wow. That's how important it's going to be for you and I. Not just for the graduates here. This is for everybody. For us to be able to control ourselves. And not lash out. But to be people that are at peace in the Spirit of God. Because it's getting worse, folks. And people do need to see something that's a little different in this world. Not everybody acting the same way. I think I'm going to skip something. I'm just going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 to end this. And Ephesians chapter 4. Oops. Ephesians chapter 4. Simply says this, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This isn't something that's easy and it just comes that easy for us. We need to be people that recognize that we need a change of the way we think about ourselves, about this world, about the Lord, and ask Him to help us renew the way we think, so that we're thinking the way God wants us to think. This being that created everything like that. How powerful is that? How powerful is this being that created this whole universe? I would think that we would want to be pleasing to Him. I would hope. I think that would be pretty smart of us, wouldn't it? So, Lord, I just pray for the graduates, for all of us, Lord, that we would arm ourselves with truth, and that we would be people who would walk in the Spirit, be controlled by Your Spirit, Lord, be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I thank You, Lord, today for all that are here, and ask that You bless this message, whatever needs to be taken by.